Chapter 6. Georgia told the EMTs she was Andy's sister, which was true in a spiritual sense, I suppose, and rode with her in the ambulance to the hospital. The EMTs looked grim. The cops had gathered around Kirby's body and were busy closing off the scene.
"I have to be here," Billy said.
"I know," I said. "I'm on the clock, Billy. I can't stay. I can't lose the time." He nodded.
"What do I need to know about skinwalkers?"
They're just evil, man. They like hurting people. Shapeshifters, obviously. And the more afraid of them you are, the more powerful they get. They literally feed on fear." Billy eyed me.
"Meaning you aren't going to tell me anything more because it won't help me. You think it'll scare me?"
"We knew it was here. We were ready for a fight and you saw what happened," I said. "If it had hit us from a real ambush, it would have been worse." He bared his teeth in a snarl. "We had it. We had it at a momentary disadvantage. And it saw that, and it was smart enough to leave and come back later. All we did was prove to it that it would have to take us seriously to kill us. We won't get another opportunity like that one." I put a hand on his shoulder. "You and Georgia stay close to Andy. This thing likes hurting people, and it gets off on hunting down wounded prey. She's still in danger."
"Got it," he said quietly. "What are you going to do?"
"Find out why it's here," I said. "There's council business afoot."
"Christ, I didn't mean to bring you into this."
I stared toward the knot of officers around Kirby's corpse.
"I didn't mean for this to happen."
"Kirby was an adult, Dresden," Billy said. "He knew what could happen. He chose to be here."
Which was the truth. But it didn't help. Kirby was still dead. I hadn't known what a skinwalker was before, beyond something awful, but that didn't change anything. Kirby was still dead. And Andy. God, I hadn't even thought about that part.
Andy and Kirby had been an intense item. She was going to be heartbroken, assuming she didn't die too. Billy, I just couldn't think of him as Will, blinked tears out of his eyes and said,
"You didn't know it was going to come down like that, man. We all owe you our lives, Harry. I'm glad we got the chance to be there for you."
He nodded toward the police.
"I'll do the talking, then get to Georgia. You'd better go."
We traded grips, and his was crushingly tight with tension and grief. I nodded to him and turned to leave. The city lights were starting to come back on as I went out to the back entrance to Will's building, down a side street, and through an alley that ran behind an old bookstore where I wasn't welcome anymore. I passed the spot in that alley where I'd nearly died, and shivered as I did. I'd barely dodged the old man's scythe that day. Tonight, Kirby hadn't. My head felt dislocated somehow. I should be feeling more than I was. I should be madder than hell. I should be shaking with fear. Something. But instead, I felt like I was observing events from a remote, cold place, somewhere up above and behind me. It was, I reasoned, probably a side effect of exposing myself to the skinwalker's true form, or rather, a side effect of what I'd had to do to get over it. I wasn't worried about the skinwalker sneaking up on me. Oh, sure, he might do it, but not cold. Supernatural beings like the skinwalker had so much power that reality itself gets a little strained around them wherever they go, and that has a number of side effects. One of them is a sort of psychic stench that goes with them, a presence that my instincts had twigged to long before the skinwalker had been in a position to do me any real harm. Read a little folklore, the stuff that hasn't been prettied up by Disney and the like. Start with the Brothers Grimm. It won't tell you about skinwalkers, but it will give you a good idea of just how dark some of those tales can be.